3, 2, 1.
Golf Smarter number 400.
Published on September 3, 2013, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
You may have the yips and not even know it. My dinner with Jim Waldron.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Jim Waldron, we're face to face. Welcome finally to Golf Smarter, episode number 400.
Nice to meet you in person, man.
It really, what a way to start.
After 8 years or whatever long it's been of doing podcasting, yeah, it's kind of fun.
And I'm so excited to have you on this monumental episode of number 400.
Oh, it's 400. Oh, cool.
This is number 400. This is why it was really important for me to have you as part of this, because you've given us such phenomenal insight and so many great lessons that. Thanks. When I knew that I was coming up to the Portland and going to Bandon, I wanted to make sure that we got together so that we can do this. And I wanted to sit down and we're going to eat dinner while we're doing this.
Yeah, this is like I said, this is like my dinner with Andre, the movie, except we're going to call it my dinner with Fred.
No, it's my dinner with Jim. And I want to start by giving you a little gift. Here is your the greatest divot tool in the planet, the Golf Smarter.
I've heard about this.
Yes.
This is the famous Golf Smarter.
Yes, this is your
very... I need an instruction manual to get it open.
Just, there you go.
Oh, there it is. Cool.
That's
excellent.
Your Golf Smarter divot tool.
The famous Golf Smarter divot tool. Fantastic.
Yep.
And I do take divots.
Yes, I watched you take some swings. and just a thing of beauty. So what are we going to talk about here? So what's happening with instruction for you these days?
What's happening as far as new stuff?
Is there any?
I'm getting a lot more private schools than I used to get, partly because of the economy.
Mm-hmm.
We're having fewer people take the group schools we used to do, and we're getting more people taking the private.
Mm-hmm. In Portland and in Hawaii?
And in Hawaii and in Palm Springs, too.
Uh-huh.
We'll be doing about a month in Palm Springs in March.
Of 2014.
From the middle of March to the middle of April, I'll be in the back in the desert.
And doing private and?
And public.
Okay.
But we're seeing a shift. There's more interest. There seems to be more interest in our private schools, which are all day. Well, they're half day, too. We do four-hour half-day sessions. But typically a person will do a day or two or three, just one person. Sometimes a student and their spouse, or a student and their golf buddy, like the two guys I mentioned that were with me today. They did 4 hours yesterday together. They did 4 hours today. They're doing 8 hours tomorrow.
Wow.
And I got a guy coming next week from Virginia to do 2 8-hour days in a row who has the yips. In fact, that's always been one of my specialties, is to help people who have the yips. But I've got more of a reputation on that subject for the last, I don't know, three or four years.
And we've never talked about the yips.
We never have. But that's I get people all over the world coming to Portland.
And how do they find you thinking?
On the internet.
But
word of mouth.
But why do they know that you are specializing in yips?
Well, again, for example, the guy coming from Virginia on Tuesday, his buddy, a fellow golfing partner, who had the full swing yips, came out to see me last year, and he also did 2 full days in a row, and it cured his yips.
Wow.
And so he told his friend, and so it's a lot of it's word of mouth.
So full swing yips, mm-hmm. putting yips, define yips, and because, you know, it's one of those things, I've got the yips.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but is it a generic thing, or there's very specific things?
Yeah, well, there's different kinds of yips, and there's different intensities. There's what I call the pre-yips. I would say every golfer who's probably about a 6 or 7 handicap and higher, either some of the time or all the time. In fact, I would venture to guess that everybody who's about a 18 or 20 handicap or higher has a case of pre-yips pretty much universally all the time.
And what is that? What are pre-yips?
Pre-yips is where there's just too much tension in certain body parts, certain muscle groups, as you're setting up. And then also, once the motion starts, certain muscles are tightening up that shouldn't be tightening up.
But don't most golfers, there's just tremendous tension. I think it's probably one of the biggest issues. Yeah, I know that for me, like even today, and I played over at Quail Valley where you teach, when I was hitting in, you know, short chip shots into the green, I was really trying to focus on relax, loosen your grip. Lighten up, you know, it's like, because I know when I take those little short shots and I just chunk it, my hands are tight, my shoulders are
tight. That's the pre-yips.
Okay.
But a classic yip, well, I'll give you an example of a severe yip. If you've ever seen anybody who has like a Parkinson's disease, thank you. That looks
the
good.
The soup has arrived.
Tum yum.
Tum yum. We're eating Thai food, just to let you know.
Where there's a sudden, I mean, violent jerking motion of a body part. Usually in golf, it's usually the wrist, usually the trailing wrist, the right wrist for a right-handed golfer will go like that, will jerk suddenly.
Uh-huh.
That's a severe yip. Or it could be a severe pivot stall where you're supposed to unwind and uncoil your body from the ground up, hip rotation, core rotation, chest rotation, and you're starting to do that. And also, it's like a check swing in baseball where the person will suddenly break their body rotation, their pivot, right when they're striking the ball. That's another common form of a yip.
Okay.
It could be a body lunge. But the most common has to do with sudden, violent, jerky increases in grip pressure and sudden throwing away of the wrist cock angle, early release.
Mm-hmm.
But there's different intensities. For example, pretty much everybody, back to the handicap thing again, probably every 15 handicap and higher on the planet, throws the club head from their wrist right after they start their transition to the downswing. And you could argue that that's a mechanical flaw, which it is, but after they've been taught not to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they know why it's bad to do that, and they've had instruction, they've put a little bit of practice time in, and there's no improvement, it's no longer... And if they don't do it on a practice swing without a ball there, on a practice swing they can maintain their wrist cock angle down to where their hands pass below waist high, and then they release it, then if they only throw it away early, above waist high, only when the ball's there, right, then that's a yip. It's an involuntary motion that they can't stop doing.
Okay.
Right? And usually it involves increases in muscle tension, sudden rapid increases in muscle tension. But it can also be the opposite. It can be a sudden loss of muscle tension. For example, one of my former pre-yips, I'm pretty much over it, was to literally let go of the club with my right hand during release. My right hand grip pressure would go from the right correct grip pressure to basically no grip pressure.
Oh, my.
And my hand would come off. You see Tiger do that sometimes, too. He'll finish the swing with only his left hand on the club.
Right.
Yeah, so that's another form. That's fairly rare, but it does happen.
Huh.
Yeah. So one thing we know for sure about the yips that your listeners will probably be surprised to learn is that it never manifests on a practice swing, ever. No one in the history of golf has ever yipped a putt, a chip, a bunker shot, a pitch, a full swing shot on a practice swing, including Charles Barkley. He's famous for his, horrible yip.
Yeah.
Only when the ball's there. So the presence of the ball in the eyes, in the visual field, and in the mind, and in the emotions, the reactivity of the emotional side of the personality to the presence of the ball triggers the yip.
But you'll get the yips over on the... Please, start eating. Yeah, yeah. So you'll experience them over on the practice range, but just not a practice swing? Is that...
Some people only get the yips on the golf course and not on the practice range. Like,
for example,
one of my assistants, Joe Santich, he gets it. He's a very good player, but I think he's a 4 or 5 handicap now. He'd be a 0 handicap or maybe a +1 or +2. But he has a very severe kid. So far, he's been my only failure. I haven't been able to figure out how to get Joe to stop. Don't quite understand it, because he does not do it on the range at all. He chips it close every time on the range. But on the golf course, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, not every time, but all of a sudden, he'll get a yip going.
And we don't know if this is manifested by a bad shot, and then the next shot he's thinking too much. It just randomly arrives.
Well, we do know there are certain triggers, and... Yeah, hitting a bad shot is one of them. And, it's actually more like dread of hitting a future bad shot, right?
Uh-huh.
Thank you. That looks very good.
The food's being delivered as we speak. I'm sorry to subject everybody to this, but...
This is great.
I'm glad we're eating
dinner. What a way to do a podcast. Have wonderful Thai food, Thai orchid here in Portland.
Hey.
I've been coming here for over 20 years.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyhow, certain things trigger it. Anxiety is the main trigger.
It's a mental thing, flat out.
Correct. Yeah.
And it turns into a physical thing.
It turns into a neurological disorder in the severe cases.
Wow.
And there's a medical term for it called focal dystonia. A dystonia basically means a muscle, sudden muscle contraction.
Mm-hmm.
And so surgeons get it and ruins their careers. Dentists get it and ruins their careers. Professional musicians, particularly violinists and piano players, get it.
But it's not called the yips then.
They don't call it the yips there, but that's what it is.
Fascinating.
Bernard Langer has had three severe cases of it to the point where he almost quit golf, and he's managed to conquer it three times.
Wow.
But he uses the long putter, as you know.
Right.
Well, so at least for another year
for
or two.
For now, right.
For now.
Well, maybe he'll be on the even on the Champions Tour. He's cured it multiple times and then came back, and it came
Isn't that
back.
Amazing? Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So when it's really severe, the reason why it's scary to have it and hard to, almost impossible to cure on your own is, I mean, a lot of things in the golf swing or in any of the golf strokes are involuntary, and they should be involuntary. You don't want to be thinking your way through the swing, right? You want it to be an automatic, unconscious mind-generated behavior.
Right.
But all of a sudden, your wrist goes from, you know, slightly hinged back like it should be, which gives you the forward shuffling you need to hit the ball solid. It goes from saying having, you know, if you're not, what would that be, maybe, you know, 15, 20 degrees of backward-leaning angle in the back of the right wrist if you're right-handed golfer. And when the club's this far away, you know, a foot away from striking the ball, your wrist goes from leaning backwards 20 degrees to leaning forward 60 degrees in like a 20th of a second.
Wow.
Can you imagine what the ball's going to do? You can hit every bad shot. I mean, horrible shots, like just out of control, terrible. You know, 150-yard slices. You know,
that gosh.
You know, like shanks. I mean, everything you can imagine. So that's why it's a hard thing to combat. Because then once you have it, at least once you start to get it a little bit, it just there's momentum to it. It just gets worse and worse and worse. So
does it have anything to do with some getting so comfortable with their game, and then all of a sudden, you know, because you can never get too comfortable with golf. Because as soon as you think you've got it figured out, golf's going to remind you who's in charge.
Exactly right.
And is it something that once you start getting so confident, and then all of a sudden one thing goes wrong, and then your head just starts filling up with...
Correct. I mean, basically... I think there's never been a case, I think you can safely say there's never been a case of even moderate yips, let alone severe yips in the history of golf, that didn't start with one or more fatal flaws or one or more mechanical errors or balance errors or rhythm or tempo or, you know, coordination errors or flaws that tended to create, you know, some really bad shot outcomes. And you start playing golf for maybe a year or two or 3 years of hitting occasionally out of nowhere, these off-the-charts terrible shots that go way offline, right?
Right.
Cause lost ball penalties, you know, hazard penalties. Things right. Like. All of a sudden, you start to lose your confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And you start overthinking it, and you start searching for an answer. The next thing you know, you can't play anymore because you've got literally no confidence. And now you've got the yips. So it usually starts with a mechanical flaw that becomes a mental flaw because now you become obsessive about it. So it's almost anticipatory. Am I going to yip in this next one? Am I going to yip?
Right.
And it's like what one of my assistants, Cliff Goldman, in the real world, he's a speech pathologist.
Oh, interesting.
In our little Balance Point Golf Universe, he's been my number one assistant for 17 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an expert on stuttering. And he said, yipping is a form of stuttering. And he says, speech pathologists have a saying, which is stuttering is what stutterers do when they try not to stutter.
Stutter.
And yipping is what yippers do when they try not to yip. There's a sort of a...
Because they think too much about
it? Yeah, there's sort of a negative feedback loop going on.
Right.
So one way you can fix a yip, if it's a mild yip especially, it's almost instantaneous, is to get people to try to yip on purpose.
Really? Force it.
And they literally can't do it.
So how does that break them?
It just breaks... What you're trying to do to fix the ultimate cure of a yip is to break the old neuromuscular pathway, the old pattern between brain and muscle.
Mm-hmm.
By interfering it, inhibiting that pathway by introducing a new pathway. So you, for example, I worked yesterday with a longtime student of mine who came down with a bad case of shipping yips. And I had him
grip
what
yips?
The chip yips.
Oh,
chipping.
Chipping yip. They say shipping.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
We're eating.
I had him grip it left hand low with split hands. So his hands are about an inch apart from each other, like this on the handle.
Uh-huh.
Left hand low, which is very different from a normal grip to begin with. Plus, it's split hand. And he's pressing his knuckles of his.
And this is with a wedge.
Yeah, a wedge. Yeah,
okay. Because do left hand low on putting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people commonly do it in putting. But
yeah.
You can do it in chipping, too.
Hmm.
But he's also got, because he's got split hand, he's got more, sort of more area here on the inside of his left wrist to press the back of his fingertips of his right hand. We call that sideways pressure. And it's fundamental to all golf shots, which is pressing your arms toward each other. And so he keeps the sideways pressure. Then he can't flip. He can't do this.
Oh, interesting.
The only way he can flip is to let this hand come off, right? So, so it's kind of an instant cure, or near instant cure, I guess I should say. Yeah, the yips are fascinating.
And you've got people coming all over to say.
Yeah,
just
got a guy come
him.
To Hawaii for 3 days last year, 3.5 days from Portland. All the way to Oahu.
So if someone Google yips, your name's going to come up?
There's a pretty good chance, yeah.
That's, you make sure you you put that in.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the putting yips.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do that, I'm going to let you chew because I want to say that this episode of the Golf Smarter Podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 150,000 titles from the New York Times bestsellers, and includes fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For the Golf Smarter audience, you're looking at me like, you can do this. Huh? I've done it a couple times.
Yeah, you do it. You've done it. You're unconsciously competent at podcasting.
At least at Audible.
Yeah.
So for the Golf Smarter audience, Audible would like to give them a chance to get a free audiobook of their choice if they sign up. At audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. And you sign up for a year's membership. But that doesn't mean you're committed to the year. If you can cancel it at any time, and even if you get your first book for free and listen to it and decide that I can't do this every month, get a new book, that's okay. But give it a shot. You got to give Audible a try. And so, as we have done so many times, we are going to ask Jim Waldron for a book recommendation because I know that you love reading books. So what have you got recently?
The Town.
The Town.
By Mark Leibovich, the New York Times political reporter.
Okay.
It's a nonfiction account of his, basically his observations of the inside the Beltway political ruling elite, which includes not just the politicians, but the lobbyists, the staffers, and some of the top
This is nonfiction.
It's nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly, apparently from the advanced reviews, it's mainly a fairly blistering critique of that culture, that sort of, culture of access, so to speak.
Right, right.
And self-promotion, and it's very critical of the journalist class in particular.
Oh, that's very
of which he's a member.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's getting really good reviews.
Oh, great. We were talking briefly, the TV show now, House of Cards, put out by Netflix. It's fascinating because what it really exposes is that, like, the industry of Detroit, obviously cars, the industry of New York, financial, right? But the industry in D.C. is power.
It's power, yeah.
And that TV show exposes that so well.
Yeah.
Kevin Spacey's amazing. But I guess this book would also be a great indication if this is the kind of stuff that you like, this is what you should look at. So why don't you check out The Town, This Town.
I think it's The Town.
The Town?
Yeah.
By Mark Leibovich. It's narrated by Joe Barrett. Here, let's see. Oh, it is This Town.
This Town. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And narrated by Joe Barrett. Got my phone here, and we're looking right on the web. It's 12 hours and 15 minutes long, so it would be a great first book to try out.
Yeah, like a long car trip or something.
Exactly. Great summertime reading type of thing. And the reviews on it have been phenomenal. Over 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, it's going to be probably within a couple of weeks, it'll be at the top of the New York Times bestseller list, no doubt.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That would be a great recommendation, and we appreciate it very much. And you can have that book for free or any book that you'd like. It's up to you. All you have to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. And again, Audible is spelled AUDIBLE. That's audiblepodcast.com golfsmarter. And again, I appreciate very much their support of our podcast. When I came out to visit you this afternoon, you had a young man out there who's a beast with a driver.
Right, Ben Berry, yeah.
Ben Berry?
Correct.
B-A-R-R-Y?
B-A-R-R-I-E.
Okay. Well,
the author of Peter Pan, right?
Okay.
Same spelling.
So I'm asking for spelling because you think that in a couple of years we're going to see this kid on the PGA Tour.
I think so. Yeah, he took up golf fairly late. I mean, he's only been playing seriously for about 5 years, but he hits a golf ball most of the time, having played only for 5 years seriously, as well as the top ball strikers in the world. I mean, his average carry on a solidly struck drive is over 330 yards in the air.
And that's the carry.
It's his carry, and he hits it very straight, usually.
Oh, my gosh.
So, you know, we got a
lot. He's a big kid, too.
He's big. He's 6'5". He's, what, 225 pounds and
well,
muscle.
If you'd like to see his swing in action, I did catch some video of it, and I'll put that up on the website and our blog along with the show notes for today's episode. So
yeah,
you can see Ben.
He's amazing. He's one of the most talented people I've ever worked with. When he took our school last year in May, he took Great Shot, our four-day golf swing school. He was a 12 handicap. By the end of October, he was a 4.5, I think.
Wow.
He dropped that quickly.
Wow.
And, of course, he's fanatic about practicing. He puts a lot of time in.
Oh, okay.
But he just hits the ball so solid. When he gets going on the practice range out at Quail, the sound is so loud. It sounds like a deer rifle going off. Everybody in the range stops and looks over.
Really?
Because nobody else makes a sound like that.
Wow.
Even most tour pros don't make a sound like that.
And why? And he's got all parts of the game now. I mean, it's coming together. Do you really?
He's still working a lot on his short game, putting, and mental game. Those are still, you know, areas he needs a lot of work in. But his ball striking is just phenomenal, just really phenomenal. His average carry on a 6-iron is over 210 yards with a 6-iron.
Wow!
Yeah, it's just unbelievable.
I some of that stuff I just can't fathom. I when I'm watching the tour, I'm seeing these guys thinking, how?
You know, in my last podcast, we talked about how important the driver was as the number one important club in the bag, and he's proof of it. If you can hit the drive, even if you only hit it in the first cut or rough, if you don't hit the fairway, but you miss it just to the first cut.
Sure.
But you only have a sand wedge in versus a 5-iron. Think about, would you rather have a sand wedge from the first cut or rough or a 5-iron from the fairway?
Yeah.
You know. Huge advantage hitting the driver long and straight.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And yet, you know, people focus so much on distance, but let's be honest, the accuracy is so important.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Well, he's hitting fairways, though.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. So your question was, you were going to ask me about the putting?
Yeah, let's go to the putting yips now.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about putting yips, because
that's where it seems to be the most prevalent. That's where you hear about the yips most of the time.
It's actually the least prevalent in putting than any other stroke. There's few people yip least often in putting. The most common is full swing.
Uh-huh.
The next most common is chipping. The next most common is pitching. The next is greenside bunker shots. And the least common is in putting. But it's often referred to as something that only happens in putting.
Right. I'm really shocked to hear all of that.
Yeah. Just watch a guy who's about a 20 handicap player.
Mm-hmm.
When he's warming up on the first tee, taking practice swings with his driver, and then watch the swing when he hits the ball. And you'll see a fairly smooth, rhythmical, free-flowing motion without a ball there. Then when the ball's there, it's herky-jerky and, you know, contrived and mechanistic-looking. So that herky-jerkiness that you're seeing are one or more flinches. And so a flinch is another term for a yip.
Okay.
In the U.K. and Ireland, they call it the twitches because that's kind of what it is. Your muscles are twitching. There's a sudden twitching of the muscles, right?
Excuse us while we eat our dinner.
This is good.
It is really good.
I love Thai food.
A little bit guilty about that we're chomping in people's ears. I hope we're not grossing them out. But the putting yips I'm really surprised about all the other yips that I never realized, just thinking that it was mostly putting.
Mm-hmm.
But chipping, bunkers, everywhere, huh?
It just, chipping yips are very common.
But it's really tension. It's so much about tension and
anxiety.
Yeah,
it's especially anxiety. Tension. It's a sudden burst of tension. I mean, sudden, happening in a tiny fraction of a second after the swing starts, particularly in the forward swing is when it manifests. So it's destructive to the to your proper impact.
And what can somebody do for themselves once they recognize that this is happening to them? What can they do?
There's lots of approaches, but the basic idea is, again, you got to do something radically different, like change your grip, change the size of your grips, maybe. Of course, I'm a big believer they should be the proper size, but let's say you're, you have sort of slightly larger than average hands, and you're playing a mid-size grip, for example. You could go to a jumbo grip, or you're playing regular size, go to a mid-size. The hands are sort of the neural switchboard for the brain and body, the mind-body connection. So by changing something with your hands, how your hands feel on the grip, that could help. Using a different colored golf ball could help, going from a white golf ball to a yellow golf ball.
Why?
Because it's different. Because it's new.
You just change.
You want to change everything. So you're not the same old person who had the yip. You want to use a different grip, maybe even a different club. Change the club you... Like, for example, most good players will pick a gap wedge or maybe a sand wedge to chip with, most typically. I usually recommend gap wedge for a number of reasons. So you might buy a different wedge, right? If your old wedge had chrome, you might get like a satin finish or a black finish.
And that succeeds?
It helps, yeah. Then you could do something like change your stance width. If you were used to chip with a square stance, which is not a good idea, but let's say you used to... square stance like this, right? You could open your stance. Should be open, in my opinion, anyhow.
Well, instead of saying like this, because it's not fair on audio. But
right.
So this meaning your feet are square to the to the ball.
Yeah, you're
so exactly. You're saying open it up.
Yeah, bring your left toe back from the toe line, from a square toe line. Yeah. That's basically what you do. You change things, and maybe if in the past you were chipping with. X amount of right wrist hinge, which you want to have some right wrist hinge in the backstroke to set that little bit of forward shuffling you need.
Right.
You could reduce that by half or maybe increase it a little bit. You want to change a lot of things about the stroke, right?
But that's not easy to do. Changing things in the stroke without intense lessons, intense practice, making changes not only is difficult, but they're also... Once you start playing again, it's difficult to remember every little thing that you got to do. And, you'll play, and all of a sudden you'll go, no wonder I'm supposed to be able to, I forgot I was supposed to do this type of thing.
Well, with my students, I make one thing very clear, with new students especially, is that everything I'm teaching them on the mechanics, with very few exceptions, is designed to go into your subconscious mind to where it's a habit.
Right.
And it starts with auditory channel processing, where I'll be using my voice to convey certain theoretical ideas. They're listening. So that in their mind, they're forming an impression about the newness of this particular fundamental I'm trying to get them to do. And very quickly, I have them stand in front of a mirror, and I show them. I'll be behind the mirror. They'll be looking at themselves in the mirror and me behind the mirror. And I mimic what I want them to do with whatever body part we're working on. And so they're moving, just like I did with you, and the lesson I gave you.
Yeah, I want to talk about that, too.
Yeah. So I had you do the wrist cock and hinge in super slow-mo, and I had you look at it first, and I had you close your eyes and feel it. But you don't have to remember a checklist of what the new mechanical move is. You just have to practice it long enough away from a golf ball.
And that, I think, is so critically important and what doesn't get done.
Well, that people don't do it. That's not the dominant instruction. It's my model, but like I told you, I've been doing it that way since I was 12 years old.
Right.
Because I taught myself golf, and I was taught karate by a very... by an expert teacher when I was 12, or between age 12 and 15. So I use that model for all my golf teaching, which is slow motion mirror work. When you're doing it very slowly in the mirror with the proper form, then you close your eyes and you feel what the sensations feel like. And after you do that, and not very long, it doesn't take that long to do this. I mean, fairly short amount of time, you start to feel the correct sensations in the correct sequence when you're doing the proper form. So when you go play golf, you sort of remember what that feels like, and you kind of remind yourself to feel X, and you do, and you hit a good shot. It's not. It doesn't take that much time. It really doesn't with this method.
Wow.
It's very quick.
That's great to know. That's great to know. Well, listen, we've run out of time for this episode.
Wow.
And
it was fast.
It was. It always is when we're together. It always
Absolutely.
Is. But again, I appreciate you coming on for number 400. But what do you say for dessert? We do a members-only episode. We just keep going and see what other food we can chomp in people's ears. and we'll talk about the things that you saw in my swing today.
Right.
We'll talk more about the Ips, and it's never been difficult for us to find things to talk about.
Absolutely. Let's do it. Okay,
let's do it. All right. So, again, thanks so much.
Thank you, Fred. Thanks for having me.
Up next for Members Only, part two, dessert with Jim Waldron during our Thai food dinner. And as part of this celebration of the milestone of episode number 400, I'm very happy to announce that the remarkable, extraordinary Fred Shoemaker of Extraordinary Golf will join us on episode 402 to discuss the secret of transforming your game, his new DVD, which I've previewed and maybe, if not is, one of the most compelling golf DVDs on the market. It's going to transform you. And then it'll transform your game, but you'll be transformed. Then another longtime Golf Smarter favorite, Jeff Ritter, responds to a remarkable letter that I received from a Golf Smarter listener. Also, I'm happy to invite you to the all-new GolfSmarter.com. Beyond the entirely new look and functionality, it's optimized for your mobile device, and it focuses on our hottest topics to improve your game and much more. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, there's a new one, but the Hey Fred button is still there at the all-new GolfSmarter.com.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.